this one time we were playing Heads Up. I don't know if you guys have played it. It's like you get a card and put it up to your forehead, and then everyone has to like do a thing to try to get you to answer like whatever's on the card. And there was one of the cards was Sylvester Stallone, and it was the Impressions game mode, and I was like maybe 6 beers deep. And apparently that is the prime context for me to do a Sylvester Stallone impression, because it just came up and I just like did what I like made my face like Sylvester Stallone and just like made gibberish noises, and they just guessed it immediately. They're like, Sylvester Stallone. I'm like, yes.
So there should be video of that then, right? Because it records you as you do it.
We burned it.
These are honestly like the most appropriate and least weird questions I think I've asked.
Oh god. Wait, I want to hear inappropriate questions.
It's why what? I asked about the like, okay, what's the catch? Like, what's the other theme?
Well, I'll tell you one of the questions that I've asked before is, where is the first place you would look at me if you were to ever see me naked? And I ask this to only dudes. Just 3 dudes. One of them being my brother.
And he's not, like, standing behind a barrier, I guess, was the caveat.
Oh, yeah. Out of this without seeing me.
That's a good question. That's a thinker. Because you know that you're putting pictures in everybody's brains.
Yeah. It's like
that's Will's game.
It's like the question of a generation. It's like the Mona Lisa.
It just follows you around. The eyes will not follow you.
Now there's a picture in my brain. So, Will, what is the least appropriate question on that list?
Well, it's trivia, so it's going to be hard. I'll give it a look.
Quick, Archer, vamp.
Vamp? So, what do you guys think of airline food?
Okay, this one might get a little steamy. What is Matlock's trademark outfit?
Isn't it a white suit?
Who's Matt Locke?
He's Griffith. Andy Griffith, but he's a lawyer.
And like 100.
I can see the white suit guess now. It's like
I'm pretty sure Western I'm pretty lawyer. Sure it was a white suit.
They say gray suit, but I think it was a white suit.
I'm pretty sure it was a white suit to match his white hair.
Wasn't Andy Griffith show like a black and white?
Yeah, but sure. This was in the 90s. Yeah.
Okay, new question. Where would be the first place you would look if you were to see Andy Griffith naked?
The floor. Because where his balls would be.
Which era? Because if you look now...
As close... Matlock era.
I'd look for the white suit.
That would be his bush, man.
I was gonna say his gun, because like he's a sheriff, right, Andy Griffith?
Oh, don't look for his gun. Might backfire on you.
Oh man.
Oh god, that's so painful.
Hey, so just so I can look this up, what is it? Matt Locke? Is it?
Yeah,
like
Matt
Matthew?
Locke. M A T L O C K.
All one word.
And it was on for a long time. I want to say like 8 or 9 seasons. It used to play on TBS like in the mornings, like after like Saved by the Bell and stuff.
Yeah, I remember seeing it in terms of reruns, but I don't think I actually watched an episode, but I remember seeing it like in the Guide Channel. As I was waiting for the shows, I was waiting to see what was on the History Channel.
I'm looking at it now.
Okay, this is really interesting for the audio.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I'm just gonna describe it in like vivid detail what I'm seeing. So,
oh boy.
There's a pile of papers and there's folders and then there's Andy Griffith just staring at you,
naked.
I was gonna say, what's the color of his suit?
He's wearing a white suit, but it might be gray. It might be gray.
It's white.
Did you hear about the Taken TV show? And it's a prequel to the Taken movies, but it's set in modern day.
I heard it's really taken off.
And I heard the Brian Mills character is in the show, but it's in the past.
Wait. But it's the joke killer?
Set in the present.
No, different Brian. Well, that's not an uncommon thing. Like if you look at the Gotham TV show, that's a little ambiguous as to what, when it takes, it's kind of modern, but kind of retro at the same time. Bates Motel did the same thing where it's a prequel to Psycho.
It's a retelling.
It's definitely set in modern times
thing.
Cause I mean, Norman Bates has an iPhone. So it's.
Whoa, man, an iPhone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, there's a lot
doesn't have any phones anymore.
There's a lot of movies that, when they were first released, take place modern day. But like, The Day the Earth Stood Still, that was a modern day film, but it was made in the 50s. So the remake was 60 years in the future.
But it was also made in modern days or modern time, you know, set in the current time for when the remake was made. Do you understand how remakes work, Ethan?
Hold on, Google's loading.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like Taken 1, the movie was good. Taken 2 was okay. Taken 3, I was like, all right, you guys are promising this is the last one, so I'll stick around for another one.
In Taken 3, there's like a scene where he's running away, and they must do like 12 cuts of Liam Neeson just running. Like, he's so old he can't run.
I have not yet taken the
time. Liam's got
to
some bad knees, son.
Tyler's here. This has really taken up a big chunk of the podcast.
She's really taken too far with this.
That was really bad.
This is just not punny at all, guys. Come on.
I'm taking 3 minutes and just going to... I need it.
Well, I'm only going to take 2 minutes.
It's taken a long time.
Okay, now we're just saying taken in sentences. It's just not even... It's not even a pun anymore.
Taken TV series.
You guys are taking my joke.
You guys have a certain set of skills, and it's derailing
more
this podcast.
More like take and fail.
I'm afraid she's been kidnapped into the underground pineapple.
That was a good one.
Trade.
That was a good one.
Okay, that one might be the title of the episode, but
take and fail.
No promises.
One of you guys could talk about Kevin Bacon could have been Bacon Fail, but you missed that opportunity.
That's also heresy.
You cannot fail at bacon. There is no such thing as a bacon fail. So yeah, the quote comes out to $400 and 14 cents.
Exactly.
And it's a full service operation and so,
premium. Most premium.
We'll just take it and.
And you're just paraphrasing that, right?
And then stick it right on top.
Snip snop.
Can I quote you on that?
It's a quote.
Okay, so that'll be $485 and 79 cents for yours.
That sounds.
You
like
need to do a swap.
No, we need to snip and then we pop it on top.
It's. That's a already stop. Had a vasectomy. What are you trying to sell me?
Oh, full service is not just...
This doesn't look like a hospital. Why are you here? Who are you? Why am I on the same side of the table as this person?
Left. Dr. Tarded, I'm going to need you to go down to operating.
You know, I didn't hear what you said, but I don't think I want to. I'll hear it later.
Are you Dr. House's cousin who's just like got a job by association and everybody assumes you're as good as... I mean, you can look like him.
So did you guys hear about the Nintendo NES?
No.
Super Nintendo?
No.
Mini?
What's going on with the Nintendo?
Well, they're bringing back the Super NES. Mini. You know, this is a joke transition, but it seems like it's working, so I'm just going to roll with it. So you know how they made the original...
Thanks for letting us know.
Shh. So you know how last year they made...
I don't know how I fit into this.
So you know how last year they made the Nintendo kind of reboot? Yeah, not a reboot, whatever. They
NES
made the,
Mini.
Yeah, the Mini, you know, where you could play all the games and all that stuff.
Had like 30 games or something.
Yeah, and they only made like 30 of them. And so... Yeah, that one that nobody has. So they're making one for the Super Nintendo. And they promised to make more this time.
Did they not make enough last time?
They're making the Super Famicom Mini also.
What's the Super Famicom?
That's the Japanese version, and I think it's the European version also.
Apparently, though... But apparently...
What about the young, comma, free, comma,
old? I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to help you with this. I think it's more entertaining to just let you fumble through it.
Cool.
But apparently on the Super Nintendo version, it's going to come with a never-before-released game, Star Fox 2.
Did they say why it was never before released?
Because it was terrible.
I read the Wikipedia article on it, and now I don't remember it. But it was basically they never really finished it, I think. Hang on. Let me call the Two Brothers Talk Games podcast and see what their thoughts on it are.
Yeah, they're probably together right now because they live together because they're two brothers.
And they're always talking games.
And a couple.
Will, we're not asking that question. Those are not listener questions that they want to go through.
We don't know. I think we should submit that question.
How about what is the thing you have repurchased the most times? Like, you've bought the same thing multiple times just because you really like it? In, like, different formats, like a video game or a movie?
I think for me, it would either be Star Wars or The Rocketeer. Because feel like, I think we had the VHS growing up. I know I have the DVD here in my house, and then I also have the Blu-ray.
Wrong. I have the Rocketeer DVD because I stole it from you.
Yeah, can I get that back? I need to have both of them or else it's not complete.
Do you still have the VHS?
We have to talk to Mom and Dad.
I'm pretty sure it's gone.
Darn.
A collection's not complete if you don't have the VHS.
Well, I'm still working on the laser disc.
What about the film reel?
Yeah. Does anybody else have any input before,
on the Rocketeer?
Well, no, I mean on like things you've rebought, because I feel like Will and I have just ran that joke into the ground.
You did. And now it's dead.
I was trying to rock it away from it.
So am I.
With a tear in your eye.
Oh,
I've purchased Halo 1, I think, 4 different times.
Okay, so here's a question. Does it count to, like, do movie theater visits count?
I'll allow it.
Okay, then for me it's Django.
Or is it Boba?
Django Unchained?
Django Unchained.
Okay.
The movie about Michael J. Fox.
What?
Rescuing
what?
You know,
do you want to try that again?
Yeah. I actually don't remember his name.
I want to see that.
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, totally. You know, so mistakable. No, I saw that a few times.
Sounds like such a good movie.
Well, it's like a Western, so he has to like use a pistol. That'd be a problem.
You know, somebody could probably cobble together a trailer from Back to the Future 3 footage and Django Unchained footage to make your Michael J. Fox Django Unchained movie.
I'd watch it another time in the theater. I think in terms of video games, I bought Modern Warfare 2 a couple times when you had to buy it like on the disc. I don't know, games are pretty portable now, so it's like digitally portable, so it's not as big of a thing. That's me.
Jenny, did you have anything that you jumps out at you?
Does buying a game every year that's practically the same game but released
under a different
every
name?
Year count? No, I like... would say that due to like back when I was an Apple user, back when I had an iPhone, my iTunes would crash and erase my library a lot, and they wouldn't let me re-download it, so I'd have to buy the same album over and over and over again. So I've probably bought Amy Winehouse's albums in every format at least 3 times.
At least it was like a respectable artist and not like you had to rebuy that Hanson album every time.
Oh, I'm going to see Hanson this September, but but that's because it's their 25th anniversary. All right, so it's a special occasion.
All right, well, let it slide.
What did you do the first time you had money to spend? Like of your own?
Like a first paycheck sort of deal?
Yeah, or like when I was a kid, the first thing I bought was the Backstreet Boys Millennium CD. Uh-huh. That was the first thing I bought with my own money.
That's the same thing I bought.
Oh my god, isn't it amazing?
You know, I grew up pretty religious, so a lot of the music I was listening to, other than the stuff Tyler gave me, was like pretty religious. So Toby Mac was pretty popular, and DC
Big Tom. Mac.
Yup. So I had those CDs. I don't think I bought them because I didn't have money, but my mom bought them, and I listened to them many, many times.
Were you a Newsboys fan?
Not really.
Thousand Foot Crutch?
I heard a lot of Thousand Foot Crutch because it was very popular. People around me were listening to it, and so, I listened to a few of the songs.
What about my Switch mom Foot? Bought me a Thousand Foot Crutch album because I really wanted Limp Bizkit. And she went to the local Christian bookstore, was like, who's a band like Limp Bizkit that's safe for children? And they gave me Thousand Foot Crutch. And all I remember is one of the songs on the album was, you know that EMF song, Unbelievable? You're Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they had that, but they changed the lyrics to be about Jesus. Which reminds me so much of the Faith Plus One episode of South Park. It's ridiculous.
Wait.
Yeah, they did a Plus One episode.
Plus One, the band?
Faith yes. Plus One. Okay. It's Faith
so
Plus
small
One.
Market of so, people so, that get that.
So, Jenny, the church that we all kind of met in, well, I mean, I met my brother before church, but the church that we go to, or we went to where we met, the senior pastor's son is one of the singers in Plus One.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
So, like, like the Plus One has played at the church, and you know I think I've met that the son and everything, but it just it's just kind of a really small world reference there.
I did end up listening to a lot of Five Iron Frenzy because I'm a big ska fan.
The Five Iron was good.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of them. I can't say anything bad about them. And then of course POD broke into the mainstream.
Yeah, I remember being in a Christian bookstore as a kid and I saw Chevelle sitting on the shelf, and I was like, this doesn't belong here, but it I'm doesn't. Not going to tell anyone. And I was able to convince my mom. I was like, Mom, this is Christian. It's in the Christian bookstore. We can buy this. and that's how I got my first Chevelle CD.
Oh, I love that song, The Red. To this day, it's on my Spotify.
Yes.
I love that song.
So weren't they just signed to a Christian label, but they weren't actually Christian?
I don't know.
What was the deal with that?
It must have had to have been something like that, or so, some distributor or something messed up. Because I think it was a common thing where people thought they were Christian, so they got put in Christian bookstores.
How do people think that they're Christian? Like, I don't know, but we'll sign them anyways.
Well, I don't think they did any swearing in the first couple albums, so they could get away with it.
But they had such non-Christian anger.
Well, you see, the red symbolizes Satan, and that's why they're angry. They keep seeing red, and they get out of here, Satan.
And so, and that's why the Evening with El Diablo song is so so powerful.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
What about Thrice?
I never listened to them.
No, there's someone that I like heard of as I was like starting to listen to real music.
Real music.
But I don't remember if they were ever. It was weird because I heard it in the church, but then I heard it outside of the church, and that was the like threshold of like, okay, this is something people consider to be art versus this is like worship music. And I've never landed on that. Like, I've never figured out, is Thrice, like, a religious band? I'll figure it out.
Okay. So did y'all have to watch, like, religious shows? Did you have to watch, like, Touched by an Angel and stuff?
No.
Well, for Will and I think it was really nice because my dad didn't like any of those shows. So we watched a lot of those shows and movies, but with, like, some censorship where like my dad had seen them before, so he could kind of know when to change the channel or have us look away, kind of a thing. So I mean, we grew up on like Indiana Jones and Star Wars and
James Bond.
Yeah. So we weren't really into the Christian shows and movies. We kind of were spared some of that.
You ever watch
so it's not like your TV could only be on the Hallmark Channel.
Right, yeah, we...
Okay, great.
No, it was never on the Hallmark Channel.
It was more like if the TV was on the Hallmark Channel, one of us was going to get spanked.
Because it was on the...
So I had a different experience growing up. We were not... It was weird. We were totally okay to watch, like, things that were rated R, but for violence. Like I remember one time we called my mom because we were at a friend's house, and... My brother and I wanted to watch Saving Private Ryan, but it's rated R, and my mom was just like, yeah, sure. Like, Saving Private Ryan's okay. But Harry Potter, we weren't ever allowed to, like, watch or read or do any... Like, you mentioned Harry Potter, and, like, you'd get grounded.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to watch Harry Potter either, because, like, witchcraft.
Witchcraft,
and stuff.
Exactly.
But wow. Star Wars, it was okay, because it was all space wizards.
Not realistic enough, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, that was my experience growing up. We couldn't even really.
That's a double standard that really bothers me about the rating system. It's like, I feel like nudity shouldn't be as hardcore as violence is, but violence is seen as less damaging,
less dramatic
to a young brain. Yeah, which it was way more damaging. I quite enjoyed boobs growing up and looking at them.
Yeah, I mean there's I don't know, the violence element of it was not, I don't think it was traumatizing to us, because it was like, it was clearly a war thing, you know. It wasn't like Fight Club where it's like, okay, you go down the street and there's like this Fight Club going on.
Saving That's Private not Ryan how Fight Club worked.
you walk down the street and there's a Fight Club and there's a Fight Club.
I'm pretty sure the first rule
at every corner.
This guy punching himself. But no, the violent element of it was never. I don't know. For war things, I think it was fine because it was a very clear like context, and we. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it.
We don't have to defend the real problem.
We need more nudity in Saving Private Ryan.
Well, that's what Starship Troopers was.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they put nudity in Starship Troopers, and then it was like Saving Private Ryan with nudity and bugs.
And spaceships.
You know, I went paintballing in Southern California, and I swear this is related. I went paintballing in Southern California, and one of the maps or one of the courses was the set from Starship Troopers.
Really?
Oh, that's awesome.
Like one of the alien, I don't know, it was a bunch of, like, I honestly couldn't pinpoint it as like, oh yeah, this is from Starship Troopers, and it just kind of looked futuristic, but I'm sure it's a selling point for them.
Like, see, that must be such a huge benefit of living in California, like, you just get to encounter stuff like that all the time.
It's got benefits. I'm not going to say
that there isn't. I've never encountered any of those things.
Yeah, we're a little farther north than like LA.
But, yeah, but didn't you just go to like the Rickmobile?
What?
Yeah, the Rickmobile's not coming to Connecticut, so.
If it did, I would recommend going to, and just taking a picture with it and buying the merchandise online.
Yeah, it's coming to New York City, so I might do that.